Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello and welcome to the Hour of Mind Power. Today we're going to be talking about a subject all of us have to deal with, and that is negotiation. My guest today is Mr. Jim Camp, and this is a man that has been traveling around the world for a number of years teaching people how to do this so they can be more effective not only in their working lives but also in personal areas, etc. No, the only negotiating system you need for work and home. Believe me, I think you're going to get some great tips by the time we're through talking with my guest today. Jim, welcome to the show.
Well, it's great to be with you, Donna. Happy New Year.
Well, Happy New Year to you, too. I was so impressed with your material. Now, you're a man. You've been involved with teaching about negotiating for 20 years, and you have coaches that work with you to help people at Coach 2100, and you are involved in this really on a daily basis. And it's such a tough subject. Depending on what cultural environment you come from, it is almost like a dance that you have to learn how to do, and you've got to be able to twirl sometimes, tap at others, and do the tango sometimes in other situations. It's really a challenge for so many people. And I'm one of those people that has had to deal with this through the years. How is it that you found that this was something that you could work with and could enable other people to develop the understanding of negotiation?
I got to tell you, Donna, I think it's getting kicked in the teeth as a young man.
Really?
Yeah, really, coming off of active duty in the Air Force. I was a pilot in the Air Force, and I'm a pretty disciplined guy, I thought. And I took conventional wisdom to the world of business and trying to sell my products and services, and the conventional wisdom got me killed every day. I mean, I was just absolutely flabbergasted. And so, you know, almost immediately I had to come up with, I got to make something happen here. I can't just continue in this, you know, downward spiral. So by accident, Donna, after about 3 weeks, I was trying to sell water softeners. After about 3 weeks, I went back to everybody I'd called upon, and I said, you know, I'm embarrassed. I don't want to chase you and be a pest. So if you just tell me no, you don't want a water softener, I'll just close the file, take you off the list. And I sold 16 water softeners after going 3 weeks without selling anything. I sold 16 water softeners in the next 4 or 5 days. And
wow.
So that started it for me. I started acknowledging that people had the right to say no, and it was okay if they did. And it was like doors opened up. And then suddenly I thought, you know, there must be something here. So I just became a real student of the event. And I've traveled the world. I've been literally everywhere. And I found that culture has nothing to do with agreements. I know that's hard for the audience to listen to and believe, but I've lectured in Russia, I've lectured in China, I've lectured in Korea, Japan, the Middle East, and it's all about how people make agreements. And when you really get down to it, everyone makes agreements and makes decisions the same way. They make them with 100% emotion and the vision it's created. So if we create the vision of respect for them, and we create the vision of the benefits to what we're trying to deliver to them, and get out of the way, it's an amazing event.
Wow. Now, you make a statement in your book that the no principle is about openness and honesty. And there are so many people today that really feel like that has gone by the wayside. Has it?
You know, I've got to tell you, there's so much theory and opinion and innuendo. All you've got to do is go to a hardworking person, man, woman, in any walk of life that has done anything at all in building a business, from the dairy farmer to the steel worker to, you know, all of them, whoever they are, dentists, doctors, lawyers, the good ones don't try to trick you or fool you.
Mm-hmm.
And they look you right in the eye and say, look, don't do this. This is not something you should do. But if you're going to do it, just, you know, be aware that you've got to take responsibility for it. And lo and behold, you know, so you can say no to this. You can absolutely say no. And that's about as truthful as it gets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and the truth is always in the eyes of the beholder. So, you know, I had a fellow send me a LinkedIn request for invitation, and he said, I trust you in the invitation. I've never met the gentleman. And I really wondered to myself, why would he say that? You know, why would he say, I trust you?
Mm-hmm.
To this moment, I don't know if it's because of something I said or he read or an interview like this maybe that he heard. But, you know, think of that term, and, you know, I can't sell it to you for that price. That's the truth. Don't buy it, you know. I'm sorry. Just say no to it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that, like I say, that's about as truthful as it gets.
Well, I think everyone has encountered people who have said, this is what I can do, blah, 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 and you pay them, and all of a sudden, and this is a negotiation, and there's that trust, and that trust is violated horribly. We never forget that. People have gone through the Madoff situation and so many other things, and that's one of the biggest challenges that I think we have in our country today is the issue of trust. And that is something that, in my view, has been, well, my goodness, the American attitude typically was a handshake at one time. You build things on trust, and we've seemed to have gone away from that. And when it comes to negotiations, there frequently is, okay, we're in a negotiation, whether it's a $5 negotiation or a $500 billion negotiation, it's still that. There is that essence of trust. And you start off in your book talking about controlling the commotion of emotion. And I thought, wow, that is really a hot button. Let's talk about that for a minute.
Oh, sure, absolutely. That is absolutely the button, Donna, actually. In fact, that's the essence of everything. You know, neuroscience, I'd encourage the audience to really pay attention to what's going on in the world of neuroscience today. I believe it's doing more for our society than from the perspective of learning and how we think and how we decide, more than anything else in my lifetime. And I'm 65 years old, and I've always focused on education. I was trained to be a football coach. I, in college at Ohio State with Woody Hayes, I flew fighters and jets in the military in the Vietnam War. And I've got to tell you, I think neuroscience is amazing. And here's the thing. A long time ago, I would watch great athletes. It was almost like, I remember, it was almost like the 100,000 people in the football stadium, it was like the quarterback couldn't hear them. It was like there was so much calm in the quarterback, and I would see that, and I wondered, what the world, how does he do that? How does he get in that zone? How does he become so comfortable and confident in such a high-powered event? And how does he deal with the emotions, the adrenaline surges, the excitement? And it's just amazing, mind-boggling to me. And what I uncovered in myself was that the more I practiced, And the more I forced myself to make a decision, the calmer I felt. Even if I made a wrong decision, especially in flying the airplane, if I flipped the wrong switch, or if I turned too far to the left and had to correct back to the right, minute decisions. But I had a calming effect. It was almost like a calm comes over you, and your emotions just become very comfortable. And that's when I realized, in my mind, decisions were made emotionally 100% of the time. But the world thinks, Donna, the masses, 99% of the people I've talked to over the last 25 years of coaching have argued with me that, no, I make my decisions logically at least 40% of the time. Well, that's not possible. There's not one human being on the planet that can make an intellectual decision. They make them emotionally, then they rely on their intellect, which the experiences of training or the experiences of just doing the event, or maybe even not knowing and having to recheck the decision and make another one to go to the library to study about it.
Mm-hmm.
But controlling the commotion of emotion, I discovered, comes from making decisions, failing safely, being wrong, readjusting, making another decision, and this constant flow. And if you think about Donna right in front of us, Captain Sully Sullenberger had a double engine failure up in New York City with a load of passengers, and right in front of us in January, flew that airplane and landed in the Hudson River.
Mm-hmm.
And if you listen to that tape of his speech, no, I'm sorry, I can't make Teterboro, we're in the Hudson. Nice, calm, cool. And why was he so calm and cool? Why was his emotions not going crazy? Because he had 30 years of practice, experience. He had a system. He knew what to do each step of the way. And all he had to do was focus on his system. And that's what manages the commotion of emotion. And that's what we do in our coaching and teaching, is we teach our system, which happens to be perfect neuroscience, the neuroscientists tell me, and people actually get calm. They
mm-hmm.
they have fun negotiating.
Mm-hmm.
They look forward to it because they have a system. They know where they are and where to go.
I really like the words that you put down. It said, you do not need this deal. I think the word need, there isn't a person I'm aware of that hasn't used it. And so many times if you're under a lot of stress, and it can be anything from a medical decision to a financial decision and everything in between, that really, as you said, is that emotional trigger that literally blinds you. And I know of people that have entered into negotiations with people that if they didn't have that attitude, they would never have gotten suckered in, you might say, to situations that financially crippled them.
No, that's absolutely true. You know, Donna, I when I get in front of an audience, and I don't do it as much as I used to, but when I spend time in front of an audience, I ask them to give me a definition of the word need. And someone in the audience I've never met, never talked to, will say, well, it's something required. Okay, and so tell me what is required. And as you pull back the layers of consciousness, they say, well, air, food, water, clothing, shelter, and they go through these requirements of life.
Mm-hmm.
And then I ask the third question, well, if you don't have those, what do you have? And they absolutely say, you don't survive. Don't survive means, well, you perish. Well, when you perish, you what? Well, you have death. So here we are with these layers of consciousness and subconsciousness, what the word need means. and then we use the word falsely, I need to go to the post office. I need to call Bill. I need. And we're programming our mind, and we're throwing kerosene on our emotions. And you're exactly right. I'll tell you, if you're being drowned, someone, when I was a child, I remember I had a cousin who was much older than me, used to dunk me and hold my head underwater.
Mm-hmm.
And I know he's going to let me up, so I just relax. But he didn't let me up. And then sooner or later, I'd start to, I felt like I was going to die. And you get this surge of strength in this, and you get so mad and so emotional. And that's the same thing. And someone said, boy, I need to make this deal. I just have to make this deal today. That's the worst preparation. That's the worst thing they can do.
Let's talk about abusive people, because there are those individuals. I know I've encountered them. In fact, I had someone say to me once, and this was when I was involved in promoting some particular situation, and they were saying, Donna, you just don't have steel balls. And I just was so stunned, and they said, you're too nice. You need to realize you've got to be a real witch. You got to go out there and you got to tackle. And I thought, this is not the way I like to work. This isn't how I am. This isn't who I am. But I thought, what an incredible statement for someone to make. But it's their perception. And this was when I was in New York on a trip, and this person was just saying this and this and this and this. And I thought, I don't know. This just doesn't work. If someone had said something like that to you, how would you have responded? To me, that was sort of an abusive type of a person, and the way that it's dog-eat-dog. I remember my dad telling me that. It's a dog-eat-dog world. People are going to go after you. They're going to go after your throat. They'll rob you blind. I mean, we're all pummeled with this stuff, and you get people that are real nasty. How in the world do you handle them?
You're going to probably get a kick out of this, but I look at him and ask him, is that the best you got?
Okay.
No, I do, because, Donna, it's kind of, I've actually told people, you really missed out. You've really never been around great people, have you? The great ones aren't like that.
Mm-hmm.
There's a person in our midst today that sells his name and comes on TV and flusters and blusters and pretends to be the almighty of intellect. I'm not going to use any names. And it's sad. He's never really been around the great ones, because I coach some of the great ones that could write a check for his whole world.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So those kinds of people, unfortunately, they make a lot of noise, and people want to feel good about themselves, so they think if they emulate that, they're doing a great thing. Now, I'm not saying that you don't stick. I'm not saying that you don't become mentally tough, but you become mentally tough the way Abraham Lincoln did, or the way Franklin Delano Roosevelt did, or the way President Eisenhower did, and I could go on and on in names, but you have a mission, you have a purpose to your life, and it's valid, and you stick to it. And as Emerson said in Compensation, you pay forward. You don't look for anything in return, you pay forward. You help others. You give some, open a door for someone.
Mm-hmm.
Hold a door. Help someone across the street. The Boy Scouts of America were great at paying forward. Now they're not near as prominent as they were when I was a child. But when you're a Boy Scout, you're constantly looking to pay forward. And the really great ones did. And I know my coach at Ohio State, my mentor for coaching was Woody Hayes, and I can tell you he taught us to pay forward. He taught us to read Emerson's essay on compensation every day of our life, literally.
Amazing.
And this is all, you know, so when someone comes up and attacks you like that or says something so sad, to me, it's just sad they never were around any great people.
Mm-hmm.
Because great
really
people are mission-driven.
True. I think so. I really think so. And whether they're of tremendous wealth or they're not of tremendous wealth, they have an impact because they walk the walk.
That's exactly right. Wealth doesn't have anything to do with it.
Right. This your book is just loaded with so much information. Before we went on air, I told you, I said, I've gone through it once, and I had my highlighter, and it's got all kinds of yellow streaks in it. And I need to go through it again because there are patterns that we adopt. And women have a particular patterning sometimes, again, because of various environments they've been raised in. And there are these assumptions. And boy, assumptions have gotten me into hot water more than once. I don't know about you, but I have just assumed things. And you go into the awareness that the one thing we can control is ourselves. Don't try to control the other people, but control ourselves.
That's true. I mean, if you, you know, this comes kind of a, this is a wonderful discovery when you make it. Because, you know, my example, I like to give the example of the little league ball player, little boy or girl that's going to play little league sports. And, you know, it's someone says, mom or dad says, okay, Johnny or Judy, today your goal is to hit a home run. Well, that's not valid. There's no way that child can manage, control hitting a home run. So to set that as a goal, something a must have, it's the mark of success, that is so sad because what happens is the emotions run, again, we go back to emotion,
mm-hmm.
The emotions get so out of control and you're trying to manage and the pitcher is pitching the ball. What happens if they don't throw you a pitch you can even hit? You
right.
Walk four times. So do you take a swing at a bad pitch? Sure, a child, absolutely. So that, and I know that's a kind of a silly little example, but if you think about the number of people who are trying to manage someone else's decision with compromise, I know what, they're pushing back so hard, I'll cut my price 10%.
Mm-hmm.
That'll convince them. Well, wait a minute. Instead of, why are you trying to manage them agreeing with you? Why don't you ask them where you're falling short? What is it they don't, what is it that you're not helping them see? That you can manage. But just to go throwing terms and conditions and percentages of profit, which is that to me, that is the greatest weakness in American society. Those theories and beliefs, those weak win-win ideas, trying to manage an agreement, a result that rests in someone else's mind by giving away something, has done more to damage our society than anything on the planet.
I concur. And again, I go back to what I said earlier. I think the issue of trust is so important. Are you going to stand behind what you do? And I have known various individuals through the years who had integrity and would say, no, this is not the right thing for you, but understand why I'm telling you this. And they would talk to you. They didn't try to force anything. And then you go, wow, that makes sense. But yet there was that understanding that this was a person who had the integrity. And that's a big word. That is a big word that I think means a lot to people, but they say, but you don't see much of that. You don't see this integrity. And I think that that is something that, as individuals, we need to set our mark so that we honor that, we represent it, and then learn the art of negotiation. You bring out one point that I thought was fabulous, that when you're negotiating, whoever you're negotiating with, don't try to make them a friend. They're not interested in being a friend. They're interested in the negotiation. And I think many people have this idea, oh, gee whiz, I'm going to be buddy-buddy with somebody. But no, no, no. They could care less. I'm quoting from your book. And for business people and negotiators in any field, much more important than friendliness are effectiveness and respect. That is something I don't think they teach in business school.
Well, you know, the interesting, people use that term, use the term, Donna, you hear it all the time. I hear it every day, relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so disingenuous. You know, someone says to me, they don't even know me. And I'll say, well, we have to work on this to really build a relationship. And I said, well, wait a minute. What kind of relationship? Now, and they oftentimes can't answer me.
Mm-hmm.
And the only answer is a business relationship, because I'm not looking for a friendly relationship. And I'm not looking for a partnership. People use these disingenuous terms, trying to penetrate, again, the emotional arena and really hamper the decision process. And I've got to tell you, you know, how do I say this without... The greatest weakness on the planet is respect. It is absolutely the greatest weakness in society. I see children do it every day. And I think back on my childhood, if I talk to people the way some of the young people do today, my grandfather would hit me right in the head.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's not tolerated?
That it's not tolerated. This lack of respect. And I have to tell you, I went to Russia for a symposium for 3 days. Quite a few years ago with the Russian Supreme Court. And I sat on a panel, and General Gobolats was on the panel. And he was now no longer in the KGB. He had now retired and was now the head of a large hedge fund in Russia, the largest in Russia. And when I met him for lunch, I introduced myself, and I said, General, I'm Jim Camp. And he looked at me, and he smiled. And in perfect English, he said, Jim, you do very well, don't you? And I said, sir. He said, you've done your homework. I said, sir. He said, you called me General. That's the ultimate form of respect in our world of military. And you know what he did, Donna?
No.
He said, I've seen your file.
Oh, boy.
As a Vietnam veteran, he said, I've seen your file. You know, the KGB kept files on everybody who graduated from pilot training.
Amazing.
Yep. And so he knew about me, too. He
Jim,
knew my mom's maiden name. He knew
my
mom's
goodness.
Maiden name. He knew where high school I went to, what college I went to. Just very interesting. But he can, you know, when you go to the world, anywhere in the world, and you don't have to know their culture, you don't have to pretend to speak their language. In fact, that's the worst thing you can do. But what you can do is demonstrate respect and ask them for help, so that you don't ever offend anyone.
Jim, will you stay
respect.
With me another 15 minutes? We're going to take a break for just a moment.
I sure will.
All right. This is Jim Camp. We're discussing his book, No, N-O, the only negotiating system you need for work and home. When we come back, we're going to be sharing some more tips with you. Don't go away. Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break, and we'll be back with Jim Camp in just a moment.
Have you ever had a friend tell you about a product they really believed in? Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Toprosin is a homeopathic cream that is just fabulous. I use it and my friends use it for relief of painful discomfort such as aching muscles and sore feet. Odorless, non-greasy, it is a product that belongs in everyone's medicine cabinet and first aid kit. Check out www.toprisin.com. That's T-O-P-R-I-C-I-N. And find out more information. You can order Toprisin online or call 800-959-1007. That's 800-959-1007. Be sure to give them the code DS30 and you'll receive a 30% discount. Toprisin, non-toxic, safe for children too. This is a product that really works. Try it. I think you'll like it. Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature. However, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com. and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hello, this is Donna Sebo. My guest today is Jim Camp. We're talking about how to negotiate. Now, I can speak for myself. I've had some dismal failures in doing this, but nobody had a book like Jim Camp has got here, and his book is titled No. Two-letter word you're going to find is a very useful one, but in ways that you would not have imagined. Jim, you talk in your book, you have a chapter where you say the greatest negotiation secret ever, and that's how the chapter is titled. You say people make a big mistake confusing mission and purpose with money and power. The other side wants to know what you bring to the table to benefit them, and your M&P, mission and purpose, must be focused likewise. Why in the world is it so hard for us to be able to understand this when it comes to negotiation? We look at negotiations that are done internationally on the part of governments, I'll use the plural. We look at negotiations that are done with businesses of different types, negotiations in everyday life with spouse, kids, friends, neighbors. Why is this something that we are not taught to understand? Is it because it just doesn't seem nice?
I have to tell you, Donna, that I certainly didn't invent mission and purpose. But I'll tell you, I've been around so many individuals that were mission and purpose driven. And you know, it's interesting because I wish I had the magic wand and answer to why it's so, but I will say this, and this is going to sound crazy to the audience, but I know how to bring about world peace. All I have to do is spend the next 200 years teaching every newborn child on the planet the importance and how to build a valid mission and purpose to someone else's benefit, And why I say that is because when a mission and purpose is in place, you dramatically enhance your decision-making. And it's a very calming, it's very calming on your emotions and fears when you have a mission and purpose. Because even a setback, you just look at the setback and say, okay, let's don't repeat that, but you go right back to task, moving forward. Now, you know, I studied Peter Drucker in his book, Innovation and Entrepreneurship, and unfortunately he's not with us anymore, but he wrote about the mission and purpose of Thomas Edison. Now, the audience knows that Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, but unfortunately it's not true. He purchased the rights to the light bulb from a Scotsman, and then had the Scotsman join his development team. So now now it's common to ask, well, why in the world, why did he do that? Well, Edison had a mission and purpose. Edison believed that electricity could change mankind forever to the good. So he purchased and then developed a light bulb so that he could personally wire a city block of New York, pay for himself the dynamos to produce the electricity, so that he could light up a city block of New York, and so the world could see what electricity could do. And that all came about because of his mission and purpose. So if you really think about the accomplishments of all the great people of all time, somewhere in their psychology was a mission and purpose. Now, maybe they didn't call it mission and purpose. Maybe they called it something else. But Abraham Lincoln told Horace Greeley, if you would ask my purpose is to unite the states, to bring our nation together. That is my purpose. If I could do that by freeing the slaves, I would. If I could do that by never freeing the slaves, I would. My purpose is to bring our nation together. Now, you think about what Abraham Lincoln and his team of leaders, his team of adversaries, if you will, respected opponents, that's the definition of adversary. If you think about what they went through, they were all unified with the same mission and purpose. And that is the really, truly the secret to negotiations, knowing what you're bringing to the event and helping the other side see what you're bringing is the key to great agreements, agreements that last for a long, long time.
And I think that, as you said, many of the people that you have come to know that have assisted you and that you have worked with yourself, when this understanding is there, then you are not as likely to have what I call the bottom falling out because someone else had a different agenda. You have the statement in your book, no vision, no action, no vision, no decision, no vision, no agreement. And I think that dovetails very, very nicely with what you've just said. And you say, in every negotiation, the vision of the problem and the solution is what brings the negotiators to agreement. Let's talk about an example relative to that statement.
Well, you know, it's funny. If you think about, let's go back to mission and purpose for a second. If we can agree, think of what it would have been like in Washington, D.C., if the first negotiation was the mission and purpose of Congress and the executive branch of government on the debt. What's our mission? What's our purpose? For the American people. Had that negotiation taken place first, so we all agreed on the mission and purpose, what do you think the chances are that Michelle Bachmann would say, I hope our credit gets derated, just to prove a point? Think of the ramifications globally of the United States of America having its credit degraded is a terrible event that could have been avoided.
Absolutely true.
And the mission and purpose, there was no mission and purpose except to political people are focused on themselves and looking good to certain others. And the concept is if I can stand out in the crowd politically, I can get people to vote for me and donate money.
Mm-hmm.
So where's the mission and purpose? It's invalid. It's for themselves. It's for money and power for themselves. Now, I can give you some examples of money and power for themselves. What happened to Hitler?
Mm-hmm.
What happened to the John Gottis and the Al Capones?
And the Stalins. And the Pol Pots.
There you go. I mean,
mm-hmm.
The list goes on forever.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so simple and so easy to talk about, but it is very difficult to do because unfortunately, you know, the predator is focused entirely on his meal that day. And you know who the worst predator on the planet is?
Absolutely, mankind.
Mankind.
Mankind. You bring out a point about how to get information, asking good questions. And you say the construction of our questions, we should begin with a verb or with an interrogative. And you say, it's like, should you do this? Is this what you want? Can you accomplish this? Do you need this? Will you have authority to do this? Do you have 5 minutes to see me? Each of these questions are a very good example of how we can work with people. And, Jim, with you, this has been such a significant part of your life. I know you've got some exercises in this book that enable people to really get a feel for being comfortable with the art of negotiation. Because I think for many, many people, it's very, very stressful for them. It's exceedingly stressful. And many times they'll walk away from an opportunity because they don't know how to turn and, let's say, create an environment for communication that maybe would keep the door open instead of having it shut on them.
That's true. You know, the Donna, what we've done in the last 3 years is we've gone to arguably the leading neuroscientist in learning on the planet. And that whole book has been turned into our institute with courses to mastery throughout our system. And what we've learned is that even the exercises, when I wrote the book, I was not aware of mastery learning. I had no idea that was possible. So we put the exercises in the book. And what we've learned is, through neuroscience, is that even those exercises have to be repeated over and over to create mastery.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like riding a bike. You know, I'm looking for that nugget that allows my clients to own the system, like riding a bike or flying a jet, for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done it. We're doing it in the Camp Negotiation Institute, and so. If they look at that book, or if they look at the book, or if they go to the Camp Negotiation Institute, they can read about how mastery can be created, and all this pressure can come off in negotiations. I mean, literally, I've got clients that look forward to it every day. They absolutely look forward to it because they suddenly have control of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They don't feel so. What's the word I want to use? They don't feel so.
Vulnerable
and all alone. They
yes.
know where to go. They know what to
mm-hmm.
say. Just like when someone had the audacity to make the statements to you, you know, that you weren't tough enough. I'm not going to repeat the nastiness they said, but that you weren't tough enough. I've got to tell you, and I said to you, wow, is that all you got, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's called a strip line, and we actually know how that works. And it's the only thing that will work psychologically on a predator, an adversarial predator, who's out to try to hurt you.
Well, Jim, this has been absolutely a delight having you as a guest on the show. For those of you listening, No is the title of his book, The Only Negotiating System You Need for Work and Home. I'm telling you, it's a powerhouse. It's the type of book I would encourage you to read through and then go back and work with it. Because if you're someone like me that has had challenges with negotiations, feel overwhelmed with them, feel like you've got nothing but sawdust in your mouth and just don't know what to do, and have had some situations that were very aggressive, others that weren't so aggressive, but you felt like you were being turned inside out, well, this book will give you some tools to work with. Now, Jim has a website called CampNegotiationInstitute.com, CampNegotiationInstitute.com, and you'll find out more about what we've discussed on the air. Jim, this has been absolutely a pleasure having you as a guest. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Donna, thank you for having me, and I hope you'll send over a link so that my clients can hear the interview and listen to your expert questioning.
Well, thank you very much, Jim. I know you're going to be very successful. The book, No, The Only Negotiating System You Need for Work and Home, Jim Camp is my guest. Get the book. It will really help you. Donna Siebel here. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment.
Are you taking too many oral pain pills and concerned about the side effects? Are you having trouble getting to sleep at night because of the pain? Well, I'm Lou Paradise. I had the same problems you have, cured my pain, eliminated pain pills and their side effects by developing Toprasin, pain relief and healing cream. Toprasin relieves pain without the side effects. It doesn't burn, it doesn't smell, and it doesn't stain. But don't take my word for it. Doctors, pharmacists, and pain specialists are using and recommending Toprasin and ending the suffering for thousands of people just like you. We know you hurt. We want to help. We are so sure that Toprasin will work for you. We offer a money-back guarantee. So if you want the pain relief without the side effects, ask for Toprasin. Toprasin is available at Duane Reade, Quick Check Pharmacies, and Wegmans. Ask for Toprasin or call 1-800-959-1007 for a store near you. That's 1-800-959-1007. Toprasin, the last pain medicine you'll ever need, and you can sleep on that.
Do you have children between the ages of 3 to 10? Do you love children's books and collect them? Then you'll want to know about God's Kiss, the award-winning illustrated children's book that has been enjoyed by families around the world. 15 beautiful illustrations by Pacific Northwest artist Ed Gedrose accompany this lovely story about a little boy named Johnny that will capture your heart and mind in a very special way. Multicultural and non-denominational in content, it will become a family favorite that you and your children will want to read again and again. This book is available by itself through Amazon, or if you contact me, Donna Siebel, directly, you can get a personalized signed copy. There is also a talking book. You can order the talking book CD by contacting me via email, donna@delphiinternational.com, or by calling 253-582-5604. You can also visit my website, delphiinternational.com. To see more details, God's Kiss is a family classic that belongs in everyone's library. Get your copy now.
Hi, this is Donna. I'm so delighted that you've been able to stay with me and join me on this special holiday, Martin Luther King Day. And I know so many of you are enjoying being at home here in the Pacific Northwest. We have been enjoying snow. Yes, we ended up getting a cold front that's come through that's just absolutely incredible. And it has just been an absolute joy. It was fun because today I went out walking. Snow is coming down. The wind is blowing. And my little Victor is with me, and we're walking out. Of course, I'm all bundled up. I've got on the boots and the scarf and the whole thing. But it was magical. Going outside when it's snowing, for me, has always been just magical. And, of course, everybody's huddled in their homes, so you're not encountering very many people. But I did end up, before I finished my walk with our little Scottish Terrier, by golly, there were a couple of other people that were out walking too, and they were enjoying it. No traffic to speak of. It just was a wonderful experience. But if ever you have a chance to be out in the snow and you listen, just listen. There is so much activity that's going on that you wouldn't imagine is happening, because we just assume that when it's cold out, there's not much going, but that's not true. And I had an encounter yesterday morning with a magnificent, brilliantly colored hummingbird. When I went outside, we have a hummingbird feeder because we have hummingbird sitter that stay year-round here in the Pacific Northwest. Of course, when it gets this cold, we want to make sure we have something out there for them. And here was this fabulous hummingbird. I hear this whirring sound in my ear, and I turn, and I'm looking at straight in the eye, brilliant red top and neck, and this luminous green. And was right there for a while, and then buzzed off, and then came back in a moment to use the feeder. But you have these experiences, and I see little pygmy nuthatches, tiny little birds that we have up here. They're busy talking, and they're in the trees, and the raccoons are busy. They're looking for food. Nature is not so quiet as one would think during the dead of winter. It's really fascinating, but there's something special. There's just that magic. So if you have a chance, wherever you are, I know if you're up in the far north, like Fairbanks, Alaska, it might be too cold to do this, but I would just say, be aware. Just sometimes listen. Bundle up. Go outside. I love to see the kids out sledding, and our snow doesn't last very long around here. But yeah, we've got maybe another day, and then the temps are going to be bringing in the rain instead of the white stuff. But we're grateful for all of it because it makes just for great water tables. But, boy, the skiers on Rainier and so many other mountains are just going to be pleased people. Okay, I want to let you know tomorrow we're going to be talking with Beverly Factor about her magnificent book called Angelique. Now, Beverly is an underwater photographer, and we're going to be talking with her about the environment, how she's using photography to reach the hearts and minds of children and adults around the world to let us know how we can make a difference, making Mother Earth healthier, not sicker, because of what we do. So this is just wonderful. And then we're going to be talking with Susan Weed about the sexual wellness of our internal organs. She is just a delightful lady. We've got all kinds of herbal information we'll be sharing, etc. Now, my guest, Beth, who is going to be with me on Thursday, she let me know today she is very, very ill. So she's not going to be able to do the interview, so that's probably going to be an open mic day. And then on Friday, we're going to be talking with Maria Cooper Janis. She is the daughter of the very famous actor Gary Cooper. And she's put out an absolutely awesome book about her dad. It's just fabulous. Photographs of him that have never been shown before and stories about this man that just captured the hearts and minds of women and also the admiration and respect of men because of the way he played the role. He just was quite a guy. So we're going to be having a wonderful week. So if the weather's sort of keeping you down, hey, just tune into the show and we'll be sharing some good things with you that you can carry on throughout your day. I know we're just about out of time here, and I wanted to share a thought with you before I close out. And this is said by Geraldine Ferraro, who was the first female vice presidential candidate and former United States Congresswoman. She said, "The key to being first is being willing to take a risk." And in the movie Chariots of Fire, a runner turned to his wife and said, "If I can't win, I won't run." To which the wife responded, "If you don't run, you can't win." And I think that this is a very good statement because if we don't stick our necks out, the turtle is a good example. If you don't stick your neck out, you're never going to go anywhere. We have to be willing to try. And regardless of what seems to be so negative in the world, you've got to keep yourself focused, like Jim Camp said, focused on the mission. Remember always you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. This is Donna Sebo. I'm so delighted we were able to share this time together. I look forward to doing it again tomorrow. Take care. Be well. Be safe. Take care without driving. We'll talk with you tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on bbsradio.com. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.